What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode 186 of the Kinda Funny Games cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Ahoy, hoy!
It's Spider-Man Day, by
the way. Woohoo! Happy Spider-Man Day!
We're recording this later than usual.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you on Patreon, people, for your patience. Your patience on Patreon. For usually this would be up first thing Friday morning, but because I went to the Madden tribute live stream, we had to delay recording one day.
I want to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Next to him, Andy Cortez.
Hey, what's up, guys?
On the show. This should be a fun one.
It's going to be a
great
one.
What's crack-a-lackin', Andy?
I love your catchphrase. Thank you. My favorite Greg Miller catchphrase.
Jerry Petty. The
Reverend. Yay, Jerry Petty.
And joining us on Shock Mike for a little bit, the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Do not ever sleep on me. Never. Yeah, Jesus. Never sleep on me. Do you understand me?
I'm going
to
tell you
I
what.
I just wanted to take it down. You guys are super positive. I just wanted to take it down a notch.
You're take it down a notch.
You're telling
on
me.
My level.
You're telling me makes a nice soft pillow. I will sleep on you. I'll just lean right up against sleep on me. Sleep. Absolutely.
This is the Kind of Funny Games cast each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We get together and talk about video games, all the things that we love about them, because yes, video games are in fact cool. We've been playing a lot of games, so today's whole show is just games that we've been playing, games that we couldn't talk about before that now we can. It's going to be a very exciting time for everyone. You can get the show early by going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and watch live, or you can get it as a early audio or early video file, however you want to do that. Also on Patreon, and shout out to our Patreon producers, Warren Moore, Eric Heitz, and Tom Bach, woo-hoo, the men, the myths, the legends.
Whoop, 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 yep, whoop.
Go Spurs, go Cowboys, Tom.
It's awesome seeing Tom Bach at PAX last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he came by the Red Dead panel. I was really happy to see him.
My man. And also shout out to all you beautiful people that are going to be here. No? Cool Greg's giving me the no? If Kevin got him the files, you're there. Otherwise, we'll see you next
Kevin
week.
Kevin at a wedding. Kevin at a wedding. That's Kevin, also worth pointing
Kevin,
out.
Kevin is at
four
a wedding.
Four weddings in a six-week span. That sounds like a nightmare, dude.
How you doing, man? Greg Miller.
Yeah, buddy.
How was the Madden thing?
It was cool. If you... didn't know they did a Jacksonville tribute yesterday down in LA that was a live stream, hour and a half, promoting the GoFundMe that EA has started to support survivors and the families of course, the Jacksonville shooting at the Madden competition. Yesterday shot down for a day trip to go there. It was far grander than I thought it was going to be. Because it was very, you know, I think this is the first round of what security for a Madden event looks like after the Madden shooting. And it was intense in a good way, obviously. Obviously, you know, you have to learn from these things. And so it was, you know, that I landed, went to a hotel, and then checked in there with my government ID, got a wristband, then went to a holding area, and then went from the holding area through security and a metal detector and a bag check, then onto a bus, then driven to a location we didn't know we were going to. Then you got there, and there was security all over the place there. And like,
really?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, okay, so I'm going to continue with this. Well, actually, just put it... yes, really. And I think it's the future, right, in terms of what we need. Because guess what? This is also the first games cast since PAX. And I was looking through my Instagram stories, because we should put a PAX area in there for me to talk about a few games I saw at PAX on your rundown. Sorry, Cool Greg. But the number one conversation at PAX, as usual, was... Oh man, how's your show going? And the number two one is, can you fucking believe there is still no security here? Can you believe, like, it didn't even dawn on me because I take it for granted, obviously, and I'm so used to it. But I was running to a Jared's panel that we did, the Superman panel, and Jen needed her hat. So I grabbed her hat and I ran to the convention center, got my badge upstairs, dropped the hat, came back downstairs and was out onto the street when I was like, no one patted me down. There was no metal detector. No one had any of their bags checked. The new
PAX doesn't have metal detector. No, PAX East does.
And this is what I was talking about when I'm bringing this up, right? PAX East does. And I remember when they added that right after the Boston bombing. Like, it was like, you need that catalyst for change, right? Mm-hmm. And that was what it was there. And I vacillate on this one with PAX, right? In the way of, holy shit, this tragedy happens on Sunday and you're opening your doors on Friday, right? Like, I get that that's hard to pull together of all of a sudden, where do we get the metal detectors? Who's staffing the metal detectors? Who's doing bag checks? What is the one entrance? What is the plan? I get all that, except for the fact that this wasn't the first PAX. This wasn't the second PAX. This has been a conversation at PAX before of like, this is kind of ridiculous, right? That we all just wander in and nothing happens. And that's what it's been. So the Madden thing yesterday, obviously, I think it's at the forefront of everybody's mind. But I think it is that, yeah, they need to and they understand, figure out an idea of how this looks going forward and what does all this happen.
So EA is donating $1 million to the victims.
Correct. In addition, to the Jacksonville Fund that they were promoting the GoFundMe thing for.
And there's also a GoFundMe on top of that, right?
Well, that's where the money went.
Oh, that's where it went.
Yeah, the $1 million went to that GoFundMe.
Into that fund. Thank you. I think that we talked about this on Long Gates Daily the other day. I think that's pretty spectacular.
100%.
Seeing people come together. I'm glad you decided to be a part of it.
Oh, well, that was the thing, right? As soon as this happened, it's what I talked about on the show yesterday too, right? And on the Sunday of this happening, right? Like, that stopped Jen and I's day in its tracks, right? And it's obviously every time there's a mass shooting in America, you have that moment of like, holy fuck, what's going on? Da 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 da. But to have it be that it was a mass shooting that happened on Twitch, it was a mass shooting that happened with Madden, it was a mass shooting that claimed the lives of gamers as they were holding controllers. You're like, there's no longer that thing of, well, I'm not in school, or well, I wasn't at this church, or I wasn't at this. You know what I mean? It's a situation that to us especially, right, is so everyday and so normal that it was like, what the fuck? And I wrestled for days on publicly on Games Daily with like, what do you do with this anger and sadness and desire to change? You know, blah, blah, blah. So like when EA and Madden, the Madden team, were like, hey, we're doing this, like, they didn't even ask. I reached out. I was like, I'm coming. What do you need? Like, what can I do for this?
I think that's spectacular. Like you and like most people, I feel kind of paralyzed when these things happen very often, or confused, lost. How do I help? And there are things we can and can't do to prevent events like this. We're not going to go into that here, but this is something concrete you can do. Cash after a violent incident in a person's life with medical expenses helps immensely. You can't bring people back to life this way, but you can help put families back together.
And it was the event itself, right? Of, I expected it to be that when I knew we were going to the hotel, I knew we were getting bused somewhere. I expect to be bused to EA's Playa Vista office, right? And just they had a streaming room there and then a conference room on the side or whatever where people were hanging out. But when I got to the hotel, like, there are all of these kids there, streamers, right? You know what I mean? And people I didn't know, but they all knew each other because they are the Madden community.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of them and he's like, yeah, you know, like, they brought out 150 people. Like, there's 150 Madden competitive players here and streamers there. And Cat Bailey from US Gamer was there. And Scott Porter from, friend of the show, obviously, but also from Longshot was there. And I've only met him once in passing. The star, his counterpart, Devin.
Oh, Devin Wade. Yeah, I forgot
that actor was there, too, as well. Like, they had all these different people from different walks of life, but it was very much anchored in, hey, we're the Madden community. They had people that were at the event in Jacksonville there. You know what I mean? That had, like, to be part of it. And the shot, I was getting interviewed and I was hanging out with Laser Corn from Smosh and stuff, right? And it was like, we were getting interviewed by a guy, and so I'm like, where are you from? He's like, oh, South Carolina. I'm like, oh, cool, we're just waiting for it to go live. I'm like, so you just, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm like a Madden shoutcaster, you know what I mean? Like, this is, I'm known in this community, I know everyone really, really well. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And talking to them about, on camera even, you know, talking to the hosts about how this put it all in perspective for so many of them, right? Of like, cool, yeah, we're rivals, and maybe we've trash talked a bit too far. Like, that's water under the bridge, right? Like, we got to come together and we got to make this thing happen. In the same way, I'm there representing our side of the industry, but I'm there with esports people, right? And in the same way of too, like, I'm there because I really like Madden, but I'm not a professional Madden player. Everybody's seen me play Bobby. I'm not great. You know what I mean? Like, it's very much like Madden holds a special place in my heart for being what Poe and I bonded over in like whatever seventh grade, fifth grade, whatever it was. And like, it's crazy, and it was nice to be there, and it was, I thought, a really well done thing. It seemed like it was well received. It seemed like they raised a lot of money, and you know, it's good on EA for doing the right
thing.
How
long was the event? How long did it last?
It was 90 minutes of a live stream. Okay. There was, you know, beforehand an hour of getting to there, because like, you got, it was at the same airplane hangar that they did the Destiny 2 reveal at for Judges Week, and Call of Duty Black Ops 4 reveal at Judges Week. So a giant space.
Was anybody there to document it? I mean, were any press on the ground doing interviews?
Cat was going to do something. I thought was there too. Yeah, Keely was there, but I don't know if Jeff did anything for publish. Cat did, and I wouldn't be surprised if EA packages it in some way, because they had people roaming with cameras and doing all sorts of stuff. And it was a really well done setup for something. I mean, totally inside baseball for all of us, obviously, is the fact that they pulled it off in like 7 days.
Yeah.
And it was like a polished thing where we were sitting at, me and Laser Corner playing, we were sitting there, and I looked up and I saw the little camera above the TV, and I saw like mics not hidden, but like on the sides of the chairs. And I looked over and they were like broadcasting gameplay in between stuff. And I was like, oh, they're just kicking to different games to show you what's happening. So people fuck, I'm like, that's awesome, right?
No, that's ridiculously impressive for the amount of time that they had. I've been on the planning end of events like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's simply the amount of work people must have put in because they cared about it. That warms my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So it was very, very nice.
So moving on to video games proper. Spider-Man. We could finally talk about it. Oh, my God. Unfortunately, only me and Greg have played it so far. You guys get to
play
it.
Fake fans.
I have not played it yet, no. Yeah. I mean, aside from what I played for the first 4 hours or whatever back in that LA event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I have not touched it. Spoiler-free reviews up, obviously, on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames.
So go check that out for our super in-depth thoughts, I think on the entire game. But the overall thing is, it's awesome.
Awesome. It's great.
So
it's
good.
Totally good.
Yeah. Can't wait for everyone to play it and like see all the fun things. I feel like the game's so full of not only just Easter eggs, but cool moments that like are things that you definitely aren't going to miss because it's like part of the story.
Yeah.
It's just very, very authentically Spider-Man.
100%.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the most pressing thing for Gamescast people and Andy, of course, is that you got a copy today, you run home to play it. We're doing the Gamescast, Spider-Man spoiler cast with Brian Intihar on Monday, that afternoon.
Awesome.
So that'll be up super soon, and that'll be ready to go. It'll wait for you. Don't worry about trying to, you know, enjoy the game. Not you, Andy. You all enjoy the game. Take your time with it. Have some fun. But yeah, we'll get that up.
I did have a lot of fun last night, just, you know, browsing through Twitch and watching people play it. And I made sure not to watch past the point where I sort of ended my gameplay at. But it was just really cool seeing people's like honest, happy, excited reactions.
Yeah,
just
so much
sheer joy of just
so
like swinging through and being like, this is the coolest fucking, this just feels great.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
I think. I really believe, because like when it first started coming out, I remember the E3 that it debuted. I hit up Curran and he, you know, he doesn't follow IGN. He doesn't follow game news. So it's like every E3 he'll hit me up and be like, hey, what happened? And I'm like,
yeah, what do I need to care about?
Oh, well, the big Sony thing is like, there's a Spider-Man game. And he goes, okay, Spider-Man game, like what's special about that? I'm like, no, but it's like it's first party and it's whatever.
It's exclusive.
And I think that now that it's out there, like even the people like him are going to be like, oh, I get it. Like this video game.
Another
are evolving.
It's just like another huge weapon added to Sony's arsenal. Yeah. Like it didn't really hit me until I saw what Guerrilla Games does when God of War came out and they posted a drawing of Aloy with Kratos and what's
Spider-Man.
Boy? Just call him Boy.
Oh, Atreus.
Atreus, yeah.
Boy.
Well, then they posted another one today of Spider-Man in that group.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
It's like, yeah, this is a first. This is like a, yeah, it makes sense now. It's sort
Guerrilla
of like.
Guerrilla put up a great thing never today, hit too, me. That was like, you know, the front desk at Guerrilla piled with Spider-Man copies for everybody in the studio.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like
that.
Another
that's
awesome.
So cool.
Yeah.
Another awesome single player first party PS4 exclusive.
It's almost like PlayStation knows what they're doing with this.
I know. It's shocking. Reasons to buy their hardware and not someone else's? What? Yeah. Okay, so I have been as close to blackout as I get on this game. I've been around it in events. I have still not played it. So what I want to know first and foremost from you, how does Spider-Sense work? Because I care more about that than anything else about Spider-Man.
It's like Batman's Bat-Sense, right?
Okay.
It's pretty much exactly the same thing. Where it'll pop up and that means to hit the counter button. But it's white, and then when it goes blue, if you hit it, you can counterattack.
Okay, so it's a lot like that. That's how they choose to use it.
And then as you level up Spider-Man, you unlock new abilities that'll be like, you know, if you do it perfectly, you'll web the guy so he's out of the picture for a little bit while you take care of other dudes.
My all-time favorite Spider-Man power, beyond the swinging, beyond the strength, is the spider sense. I love
not the extra arms.
No, I know, not the extra arms. Curiously, I missed that part of Spider-Man, the extra arms. I've always been riveted by his shirtlessness, but when...
That's
when,
a different Spider-Man altogether.
Yeah, but when garbed, Spider-Man's spider sense is what allows him to play with the big boys.
Sure.
Like, nobody can counter that. It's extremely difficult to hurt Spider-Man. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. And I wondered how they were going to convey that in the character. What about the flavor of the narrative? Does it feel like a great Spider-Man comic?
One of the best, I'd say. Like, it's definitely up there. It's not the best Spider-Man story I've ever seen, but it's in, I would say, top five.
Yeah?
Well, you're going to come away with a really interesting... I'm very fascinated for your take. Because my critique that I talk about in the review and then but I also waver on, right, is that I just felt like the story was too predictable at times.
Okay.
I'm talking about big picture predictability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there are tons of moments in there that I had already known, whether it be from a preview, whether it be from something I played, whether it be from something I've seen, whether it be from a trailer, right? So it's like, for you to come in sight unseen, I'm going to be interested to see what your takeaway is from the key moments throughout the game. Because there's a bunch, and it's that they did a great job with this one of, here's our universe. Here's what we're establishing. And I'm in the whole way. I love Peter and MJ's storyline. I love Spider-Man's overall. I love Yuri. I love this moment that I want to talk about and this moment that I want to talk about. Like, I love the story, but I just, at the end, I was like, I kind of felt like this is where we were going. But even that's taking away from some of the people motivations changes, whatever, stuff like that.
It really feels like playing through a season of a Spider-Man TV show.
Okay.
And with that, you know, it's pros and cons because I feel like it's a good season of Spider-Man, but there's also so much potential and you're excited for season two.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like there's certain things that you want to happen that don't. And then in other ways, it feels like certain things were rushed through a little bit too quickly because they needed a season finale.
Oh, interesting. You know what I mean? Okay, so you feel like some of it was a little pushed?
Yeah, just some of it. And it's still fun. It's still awesome. But it's just, I think that, and it, I'm just being really critical of this, even though it's an amazing thing. I feel like they did such a great job building the world and having all the characters in it. And a lot of it was like a slow, long character, like you arc, see a lot of, yeah. of a character arc.
Yeah.
And then for a lot of some of the other characters, it's just kind of like, but let's get to the cool stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, okay. I felt there's, I'm not going to say the character, especially for you, if you've been in blackout, but they've revealed this character. Actually, mm-hmm. I did.
I'm not on a complete blackout. I never black out on anything, but I have endeavored to stay away from it.
Do you want me to say anything?
I don't mind you saying it.
I mean, and again, if you saw any of this, Silver Sable's in the game,
okay,
right?
Okay, Silver Sable.
Silver Sable for me feels like such an Activision character, where I felt like the Spider-Man Activision games were like, point. Here's so much stuff, and we don't really care if you know or care about these characters, and like we're not gonna even. And Silver Sable is so like, you're just a mercenary. Like, why are you in this game? Like, yeah. What is your purpose?
Yeah.
Like, okay. I feel like you could easily take her out and just, there's a group of mercenaries. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. That's all I need. Like, even like her entire story arc, I'm putting in quotes, because it's really just like, I have three cutscenes or whatever. And so then it's like,
It felt forced. Like, occasionally you'd buy a comic book and you just have somebody else besides Spider-Man on the cover to compel you to buy that particular book. Yeah, did it feel like that?
They don't make a big deal about her, I think, in the promotional materials, but like they did reveal her as a character, revealing, like, oh man, fuck, what are they? Are they going to make her interesting? Because they're doing a great job with all these other characters. Mr. Negative.
Negative is fantastic.
Yeah.
In the game. And I think that one of the most brilliant moves they made in this game is making him the main villain and like the. Like having the story revolve around his relationship with Peter and his relationship with Spider-Man. And I feel like that's what makes this game special is because we all know Spider-Man. We all know the characters that we're familiar with. To see the twist that they take on those characters is awesome. But then to also be like, but now here's a new Spider-Man villain that like you're probably not too familiar with unless you're a super comic nerd.
Yeah.
They did a great job with it. Nick, what's your hype level for playing through Spider-Man?
I'm very excited about it. I've seen a lot of it, obviously. I've heard a lot of it. I played the 30-minute demo at E3, so I know how the game feels. I'm very excited about it. I plan on stealing a copy before I leave the office, before you guys are done with this.
At any moment, we're supposed to get that Spider-Man bundle that has the code that is your code, Nick.
That is fantastic. If not, I'll probably break down and buy it this weekend because, I'm pretty into it.
I'm not saying that it arrived 2 days ago and I carried it out at the bottom of the stairs when I went
home. PlayStation already got an email from me when I saw like Nerdist Jessica unboxing yesterday. I'm like, hey, I hit you guys up. I'm like, do we get the box here? Like, no. I'm like, hey, we didn't get the box. I'm like, oh, we think it's coming tomorrow. I'm like, great. That's always what I want to hear.
Okay, so I do a serious question for you here, because I wonder about this a lot. So Spider-Man is kind of the crown jewel in the Marvel tiara. He is their first and foremost character. I think most people would agree with that. Is Spider-Man the game the crown jewel of Marvel games at this point?
I feel like it's the best Spider-Man game easily.
Yeah.
And I feel like Spider-Man games are the best Marvel games. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I haven't thought that. It's interesting you brought in it to Marvel. I'm like, what would get on the short list for that, right?
Ultimate
like,
Alliance would be up there for me.
Yeah. That's what I would jump to, too.
If Marvel vs. Capcom counts, I would say
Marvel vs. Capcom absolutely counts.
And if it does count, I don't think it's better than NBC2.
Yeah.
Marvel vs. Capcom introduced an entire generation to so many comic characters that they would have never, ever fucking known. Like, it's what introduced me to Thanos, you know?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
and
awesome.
There's just a ton of characters, and that game, I think, is fantastic. But this game is...
Okay. So this is it. This is the pinnacle of Marvel video game storytelling.
Thus far.
Do you want to talk about the one Easter egg?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've tweeted about it. We mentioned it in the review and everything else, but shirtless Spider-Man is in this game. I think it's so crazy. Cool.
Coolest thing ever.
Oh, wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
not the skin. Like people, when it was leaking, people were sending out screenshots of a Spider-Man skin that is in his skivvies.
He's just in like underwear. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not what we were talking about. There is a shirtless. I thought you were asking a question, but no,
I'm stressing my shoulder out.
That's fine. Shirtless Spider-Man, the character, the model is there. I mean, that's insane.
It was so crazy. Again, shout out to you guys for making this shit happen.
Shout out to Insomniac Games and Marvel Games for being like, thanks for the support. Here, we'll put him in the background of this thing. And not even in the background.
And that's the other thing too is. is like a lot of people are worried about whether or not they're going to see him. Don't worry. Like, he is on the story critical path.
Yeah,
run into him.
It's so ridiculous.
It's awesome. Yeah,
well, how far is it from thinking like that might be a DLC pack along, like,
I think
a long
it's far.
From now?
I think, I mean, I don't know. It's, who knows? I think,
because that would be that would be a hilarious move for them to do if they were actually to do that, given the groundswell of support that they've clearly seen just today.
If I was a betting man, I think that it probably got run up the flagpole early on, and they're like, that's a stupid, goofy idea, even though, but like, obviously Insomniac knew that there was enough of an audience behind it. And then now I would think, based on the fact that my Twitter feed's full of it, the Reddit threads, the everything else, there may be, in like, how popular
basically
is it September 7th yet? I mean, every one of those tweets did like 2,000 favorites.
Who was it?
Right?
Who was the outlet that, was it EGM?
EGM Now put up a piece totally oblivious that it was me. I was just like, yeah, give me this fat shirtless Spider-Man DLC.
So funny.
But then it got taken down because technically it was against the embargo.
Right.
Because the scene he's in was supposed to be held till Thursday.
I love it so
much.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy for me to think about. So obviously, thank you, Best Friends, and thank you, Insomniacs, of just like, I always have the Sega Genesis Spider-Man's up there, right? And it's such a special place in my part of the story I always tell about my dad getting it for me, right? And like, totally. For me, that moment of my dad accepting me in video games, right? But so then to jump ahead to this game that I've been anticipating, that I was so excited was happening, period, let alone to be a part of it. Like,
you're insane.
It's so stupid. Yeah, yeah.
It's so stupid.
It's
awesome.
It's very stupid. It's awesome. The amount of, like, and that was the thing, you know, like, review embargo is happening as, or embargoes are happening as all your, or all of our colleagues and peers are playing it for review and hitting it. So it was like every day I get two or three of like, are you fucking kidding me right now? You know what I mean? It was like Jason Schreier hit me up, Ashley from CNET. Steimer was going back and forth with me talking about like, what's this? Okay. And then like 30 minutes later, she ran and she's like, Money Hat Miller over here. Popping up in the game.
I love it.
It's been very, very cool.
Altano texted me at some point. He's like, y'all motherfucker. Like, I can't believe you pulled that off. I can't believe it's actually Greg. And then like 30 minutes later, he goes, oh shit, you're here too. And it's just like some random white dude with a beard. And he just kept texting me random New Yorkers. It's like, oh shit, you're all over the place.
So yeah, when you do find him in the game, make sure you share it. Make sure you tag Insomniac and Marvel and Bill and all them so they can be like, oh man, now we have credibility and a reason to be like, hey, you know what, this should happen. Because there is, I had been told obviously ahead of time, we put shirtless Spider-Man in the game, which becomes, oh, and, okay, and like he's in a party scene. I was like, oh, so he's like way in the background, like I'm gonna have to crane cameras to make it see it, right? And then there's a side mission, or maybe main mission, I forget though, where you're chasing somebody down, and I was like, is this motherfucker about to be shirtless Spider-Man? Like, is it? And then it wasn't. I was like, oh, okay, then I'll find it later. And then, yeah, to find shirtless, like you're saying, you find him very clearly. There's no way around it if you're looking.
He's one of the only characters in the scene that when you're walking through, like, has lines.
And
triggers the lines as you go.
Well, and shirtless Spider-Man, kind of hard to miss anyway.
Definitely hard to miss.
And that's what's been fun about it now. And this is what we're talking about, right? Of, like, how cool it is and the excitement of having it out there now. Especially, and again, like, keep in mind, we didn't make the game. Like, it's so exciting and cool to see people reacting and fondly. Like, I hosted some panels, and I'm obviously a big fan myself. But to see now, as a nerd, the amount of people who are tweeting me images of it and then the suit they're wearing in it. Because everyone's in a different suit when they get there. Because you can unlock and wear what you want. Right. It's so interesting to see what people are wearing. And then, I think the biggest problem with our early access to this game was that photo mode wasn't in it.
Mm.
And so now people are sending me the
taking
polished photo modes.
Them,
so. Yeah, like
you can go
to my Twitter, I changed my image, and my header is a fan's photo mode he put up of him and shirtless Spider-Man.
It's
a weird, crazy world.
That's
thank
incredible.
You all for
a kind of funny
possible.
Morning show bit made into a fucking first part.
Dude, it wasn't even that, remember?
It was you dancing for me on Instagram.
Well, it wasn't even that. If you dial this all the way back, it begins with, we went to the mall one day, and it was after Halloween, and we stopped in Hot Topic, and they had it.
That was Elise here on that day?
Oh, my God, no, she wasn't, but I remember that day.
And I bought it, and then I came back, and I think it was Nick who's like, how many times do you think you're actually going to wear that? Like, what was that? Is that purchase going to be justified? And we did the photo outside of me in the Kind of Funny Life 3 shirt, the shorts, doing the webbing with it on there. And that tweet got so big that's when it was like, well, I got to do more with this. But that tweet literally did start the conversation with Insomniac of like, this is awesome.
That happened on the day you guys went shopping in the costume shop all together? you're saying?
Yeah, when we were
Nick,
the mall.
I think I was on the phone with you that day. That's really weird. I think we were walking through talking
you,
to
you. We were.
Oh, yeah. You were?
That's freaking weird.
You were.
Oh.
Love it.
This is the power of our community. That
weird.
We can fucking force a fucking shirtless. They have the hair on my, and of course I'm not shirtless Spider-Man, but they have my hair, true, chest hair all over, and it's fucking insane.
Oh, insane. So good.
And a shout out to the Insomniac art team that had to stare at photos of shirtless Spider-Man to get that right. And I have talked to those people as well.
So
those
good.
Poor artists.
All right, next game, Dead Cells.
Dead Cells.
Baby. Woo! So I got addicted to Dead Cells.
Yeah.
You were playing Andy, right?
Yeah.
For a while.
For a decent amount. I got to the second boss, and that's when I realized, all right, I get how great this is, but I'm going to move on to something else because it's going to make me fucking start World War III.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got addicted to it on the flight over to Cisco's wedding. And I was just so all about it where I was just like, it took a while because I've never played a roguelike before. So to understand like how it even works, it's like, huh, this is weird. But yeah, I played for like 6 hours straight on the flight. And then all I wanted to do that weekend was fucking play. I just sat in the hotel room just playing and then the whole flight back. And I also hit a point that I'm like, I just can't do this to myself.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do another hour long run that I'm just getting beat fucking down. But then I keep playing.
Yeah.
Like, I still haven't given up. And I come back and I tell Nick, I'm like, dude, you got to play this game. You started playing it, and where are you at now?
I've gotten all the way to the final boss, but I just have not been able to beat him yet.
Okay.
And so I don't think I have all the ruins yet, but because it's actually, I just looked it up right now, and there's actually two or three areas that I haven't made it to. So I haven't made it to the Ancient Sewers or the Crypt. I don't think I've been to either of those, and I think those are where you may unlock the final two runes that I have to get. But yeah, I mean, I made it. I did a run where it was like 56 minutes long, and I was like, I am dominating this everyone that comes, like, the game starts to reward you after a while of, like, as you get more experience, start unlocking, like, you get that modifier where you can put cells toward it, and then when you get weapons, you get like the colorless weapons that just take the highest possible like level up that you have. And it gave me like I had a sword or two daggers that were over 1,000 damage points, and then an endless bow that was over 1,000, and I'm like, I'm gonna fucking destroy this boss. And I'm like, and I just got spanked. I got to him, and it was not even, I couldn't even use my healing ability on him. He just fucks you up. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah. Because what happens is, are we spoiling things for people?
I mean, go for it.
Dead Cells is all about the journey.
Yeah. So I don't even know if it's the final boss, but you get to the right, like the Hand of the King, which is like this gigantic knight. But the level itself is very small, and there are, on each side of it, there is a pit with spikes. So when you roll to dodge, you have to be very careful where you roll, otherwise you roll right into the spike and it takes like a quarter of your damage away. And then I think also I didn't have the specific mutation that saves you once.
Yeah.
Because that's like clutch. If you get if anywhere in the game, if that it gets used, might as well end the run. Because you need that motherfucker for the end. Like, you gotta have it. But I'm getting close to unlocking
the wipe. That's a wipe.
I've heard that from people too.
You gotta have to have
saving
that
to the end.
And then the
really
other two
vital
mutations are cool, but like I picked the ones that are basically gonna give me better defense points against whoever I'm with. But yeah, and then it also just is so dependent on what actual, like, your secondary special weapons you get. Because if I get that badass turret and the fire, I'm going nasty. But every once in a while, they'll give me ice, and I'm like, I don't want ice, dog. I want hot coffee today.
I love the ice.
Yeah. Ice is great, dude.
Fire branch or whatever they are.
Although I got the wolf trap. I was forced to use the wolf trap for a while, all the way up to the concierge. And I'm not going to lie, I'm like, I have been underestimating this because it will lock all the bosses in place and you can just pick
it
up.
Oh, yeah. You trap and you turret it. You trap in the turret, and that's like, I had so much success with that. And it was a lot. I was just like reading up wikis and like how to's and stuff, like, what's the best path to take? And yeah, you trap the people and then you drop the turret. And they're just getting spanked by the turret.
I might try
and
that.
You're firing at them as well.
Because my turret, I did turret with fire, which makes it really easy to get through some of the harder levels where you have to fight like some of the bosses that'll actually, like, if they see you, they jut toward you, or some of the opponents. But so what I like to do is before they see me, I drop and I throw the turret out and the firebomb and just let them burn go back up the thing. And that's why it takes me so long. I've never once gotten through one of those time doors. And I just refused. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So for you guys,
really?
Yeah. I got to one where it was like, this door closed 30 seconds ago. But then I got to another one with the very first one you can get to on the promenade.
Yeah.
If you drop down, for whatever reason, I dropped down the right way. And as I dropped, I knelt and the gate underneath me activated. So I couldn't get through the gate, but if I activated another gate later in the level, and it let me go to that one, and I bypassed the, I think it was a glitch, bypassed the time door completely and got like hella cells and all the cool stuff in there, and then I just went right back.
There was a
it.
Glitch that was sort of going around the internet recently. I don't know who it was from GameSpot. I think it was maybe Callie. I'm not sure who it was, but it was a video essentially of the time door, her getting all the rewards, going to the warp, and then coming back, and all the rewards res again, as if she had never gotten them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then, but that was a while back, so I'm sure that's all patched out.
I'm at the point that I'm down to cheese this game. Like, I just want to be able to fucking play it. It is such a brilliant game. I just really wish that it was a third as long as it potentially can be. I think the most brilliant thing about the game is there's so many different items, so many different weapons and traps and stuff that like you're like, I don't want to use those. I know the weapons I like. I hate the roll that I got for this run, so I'm just going to die and get another. But as you go through and just start using it, you realize every single weapon is awesome and has a great tactic that's fun.
Except the hammer. I hate the hammer.
Oh, I like the hammer.
It's too slow.
A little too slow.
Too slow.
I like that thing. I don't like the broadsword is one I don't like. The broadsword is too slow.
Yeah,
the hammer,
I love the I think the twin dagger is the one that has a perk where it's a super
critical.
Crit.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a super crit if you hit him from behind.
Oh, I didn't see
that. So I like that one a lot. Again, the wolf trap along with the turrets and then the cooldown perk. That
for your
really minimizes the cooldowns on the turret and the traps.
That's huge.
So in your huge. In your estimation, guys, how does this compare to other prominent action roguelikes like Rogue Legacy or Spelunky? Where does this fall in the pantheon?
I don't have experience.
I don't know.
Yeah,
the only other game that I can come close. I mean, this is my first time playing a game this style, which I assume that term you're using means that you start at the beginning every time you die. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both of those games are action.
This is my first time doing it. I don't like these types of games.
Like they began as turn-based games, and actually they're still made as turn-based games. Shiren the Wanderer is one of those. Angband, NetHack. There's a lot of really good ones. And then people were like, hey, what if we put action into these? And that's kind of where Spelunky came from with Derek Yu. If you like those, go back and play. I'd love to hear the comparison from y'all once you finally run through Dead Cells. I'd like to see how you feel like it stacks up against both of those, which are really great.
Oh, I have run through Dead Cells at this point.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got plenty of experience. But my thing
you're
is,
gonna
I just
beat it, Nick. You're gonna.
I might, but the thing is, Spider-Man's now, and then I'm sure there's something else coming around the corner that I'll want to play. And so I think the good thing is it's portable. So the next flight I go on, I'm sure I'll go back to it because there's nothing else I want to play on Switch. But yeah, it haunts me that I haven't beat this game yet.
You got close. So impressed because
I'm really impressed.
A week ago, you didn't beat the concierge, and now he's your bitch.
Well, I went through the concierge. Once you beat the concierge, I think I beat the next two bosses pretty easily. Like both the first time I went up against them, and they never had a problem with them until that, since. But it's hard.
Nick,
and I've lost steam on it.
I want to run back for a second there. Did you just say there's nothing else I want to play on Switch?
Not particularly anything that speaks to me.
What's that?
Hulu's on it, though.
Yeah, it's got like Cool Greg pointed out the other day. All I do with my Switch is play Hulu, is watch Hulu. So.
I mean, Cool Greg is a lot cooler than I am, so I just watch Hulu on my TV like normal.
We were 2/3 of the way through the ad read before I stopped laughing. Yeah. I could not stop. It was great.
He's a G.
So funny. Well, thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
We'll call you back in
Brad.
Later for
I'm going to go
Doggy Dog.
Snort a Stroop waffle.
Yeah, I got some Stroop waffles up in here. I ate two of them. I'm feeling pretty good. I can keep going. I don't need to do anything. I can talk all day. You want to keep talking? Let's keep talking.
Let's talk about The Messenger.
Yeah. Full disclosure, my wife does brand marketing for it. Management for it.
Let's start with you.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hey, how you doing?
What'd you play of The Messenger?
Oh, very little of it. Yeah, it was that thing where we've seen The Messenger a lot, obviously, right? They came in here, gave you a demo a long, long time ago. Obviously, Jen working on it, I've seen it. And even at a glance, I'm like, game looks awesome. Looks like a cool retro Ninja Gaiden throwback kind of thing. Don't know if that's my kind of game. And so I played it for an hour and a half on the plane ride back from wherever we came from last time, Chicago. And it was like, all right, yeah, this is cool. And I see it, but it's very much Shovel Knight to me, which is a great thing. Don't get me wrong. As the video game critic, objective journalist, I get that this is a high quality game. I don't have the nostalgia for this. It is that thing when I'd start it and I'd see Valkyria Chronicles right next to it. It's like, cool. I understand what Messenger is, and I'm so happy people are having a great time with it. I'm going to go play Valkyria Chronicles 4. Bye.
There you go. I have been playing the hell out of The Messenger.
Yeah.
I can't wait to fly to London because that's when I plan to just really get into it. I put maybe 2 or 3 hours, I'd say, into it so far. And a couple weeks ago on Gamescast, we did the Game of the Year watch of like talking about like, what we think is going to be Game of the Year. And we got into it about Messenger, where I was saying, I was like, I don't know that like it's going to be in the same like conversation as Celeste and things like that.
Oh,
like,
it absolutely
I was like, it looks cool, but like, I don't know. I was wrong. I was totally
told
wrong.
Ya.
This game is very, very, very special. Very fucking cool. And the more I play, I was talking to Jared about this off camera, but every time I start to feel frustrated with a mechanic or start to feel like why can't I jump that much higher? Why can't I attack downward? Why can't I, whatever. That's all baked into the design. And immediately when I start questioning why not, they give me the ability to.
Metroidvania, right. They want you to come back and they want you to feel stronger.
Totally. Even, but what's cool about it for me is like, it's not just the Metroidvania of like, oh, backtracking and all that, at least that's where I'm at right now. It's just, it's simple things of just, an ability of like getting the wingsuit. Yeah. And it's like, once you get the wingsuit, it's not like, oh, you have to go back and now you can access this thing you couldn't.
Right.
It's, oh, now you can just keep going forward and it's,
yeah, it's more of a linear progress. Just like, man, I really wish I could do this. This is, I have this now. Yeah. Like, it's more that. It's not, oh, I'm looking for a spot I can get to. It's just, they tantalize you. They make you want something. Then they give you exactly what you wanted at exactly the right time. This game.
And they make reference to it with the humor in the writing. It's so brilliant,
it's
dude.
It's really funny.
It.
Your shopkeep.
It is a
so
funny game.
So funny, man.
Oh, man, I want to open that cabinet.
How far
so
are you right now? I get that reference.
I am to the, I'd say I'm at the part where it is the Metroidvania world has opened up and I have an overworld map and I'm sort of backtracking and going through levels. And
I just can't believe that's in this game.
It's awesome. It's
how
so
is
good.
There, like, that much surprise.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like so many people hit me up from our peers, obviously like, oh, well, you're married to Jen. You know all about this game. And I'm like, I know a lot, but not that. And they'll start a conversation with me. It was just like, oh my God. And then when you get to the 16-bit part and the game goes into complete and I'm like, I kind of know what you're talking about, but no. And I know.
And it's sort of tied into this big sort of story reveal.
And that's the thing, right?
It blew my mind. I was like, wow, that's really cool for a for an indie game on Switch. Like,
yeah, you start playing, you think it's an 8-bit Ninja Gaiden, but there is a story to this game.
Yes,
and that's the thing that I think puts it in the same conversation as Celeste, where it's like Celeste made gameplay and story in a 2D platformer all mesh and make sense as one thing. This game's doing that too.
Yeah.
And it's not just, oh, go save the princess. It's like everything you're doing feels like the gameplay backs it up in a way that like all of it is just so satisfying.
Yeah, this is not a retro 2D platformer. I think people might be getting that impression from glances at it. This is a retro referencing modern 2D platformer, very much like Shovel Knight was. You made the Shovel Knight comparison earlier. Shovel Knight looked back at the best parts of 2D 8-bit design and 2D 16-bit design and stole the best ideas and left all the crap out, then built a bunch of new ideas on top of it and just made it perfect. The Messenger is doing the same thing in a different way. It's, you know, well, this looks like Ninja Gaiden, so at the beginning it's going to kind of feel like Ninja Gaiden, but that feeling drops out the window very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. This is a much like Shovel Knight, a you versus the level game. And you versus the level game are a kind of a rare thing in this age where level design is more an expediency to get you to cutscenes, encounters, dramatic scripted moments. Levels are less, unless you're playing something like Mario Odyssey, less oriented toward being the direct challenge themselves. This game, the enemies are largely there to impede your sense of movement around the stage. And your abilities mostly have to do with mobility or with damaging something while being mobile. Mm-hmm. And that is a fairly neglected school of contemporary game design. And it's one of the reasons that I think the game stands out. It's not just that it's got some blippy soundtrack. It's not just that it's got a cool 8 to 16 Switch gimmick. It is a kind of game that we very rarely see made right now. And it's made to perfection. I love the message.
I'm really interested to know at what point, because I was thinking about the process of developing this game and like at what point did they decide hey, let's do this 16-bit Switch, and I'm sure there were people that were skeptical to that idea and like there's no way that's like the most difficult, are you kidding me?
It's
like
impossible.
That we're remaking every asset at that point, we are doing code underneath the covers where we are switching from the 8-bit soundtrack to the 16-bit soundtrack. That's way too much, you know, and I'm so glad that they went through with it because it's so rewarding.
Yeah, the extra work totally bleeds through and makes it a standout product. I just, again, I really do worry people are writing it off as just another Metroidvania, just another retro platformer.
It's such a special game.
That's not what it is. It's something entirely different.
Yeah.
I want to play right now, Greg.
Go do it. I want to go play games too. Can we just stop the show?
Yeah, we're done. Gotta go play. Got games to play. Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Forsaken.
Dude, I didn't think I'd get back into this game.
What has hooked you back? What brought you back?
Well, I guess it's just like, okay, I knew at one point I'm going to get back into Destiny, and I wasn't sure when, but I know that this was the release that the hardcore Destiny community was waiting for, where I know Bungie invited a lot of the hardcore streamers and people in the Destiny world that are like, you know, dedicated Destiny streamers. They invited them to their campus and was like, tell us what is wrong with the product that we're putting out there right now. What
you
can we fix?
You guys feel forsaken.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so the most recent expansion that came before Forsaken, I think it was Warmind. I think. I'm not sure.
I have Wolf Stabby Osiris or something.
The second one was Curse of the Osiris. The third one, I believe, is Warmind. But when Warmind came out, a lot of the people in the community were like, hey, guys, remember that thing that we talked about where we all went to Bungie to talk to Bungie about their game? Warmind is not the DLC that we were sort of, you know, trying to get
Bungie
or whatever.
Bungie was pretty open and clear. They're like, hey, we hear you.
They said, this is not the one.
We're on track right now for these other DLCs. We'll get to it, which would become Forsaken.
Right. Forsaken is, I think, a really cool part of the story, and I didn't expect to care about the story again. I knew I was going to hop back in because I like that sort of gameplay loop of getting more loot and shooting things and getting more loot, and it's rewarding. It feels good. But the story's really cool where I don't really want to spoil stuff, but there's a character who's really pissed off and he's an awoken dude. Super, super good looking. Let me tell you this guy. Yeah.
Nice.
Got some shoulders on him.
What do the pecs look like?
Never shirtless though. Never shirtless. Wow. Yeah. Not that I recall. Not that I can remember. Anyway. He's angry, man, and you got to get him, Greg.
Sure.
You got to get him.
Sure.
But the cool thing is he has this sort of posse following him that are a different enemy type. We finally got a new enemy type where everything else was sort of like a reskinned enemy.
Yeah.
The Taken were this brand new enemy, brand new several months ago or whatever, or I forgot when it was, but they were just reskinned Fallen or Vex or Hive or whatever. And now we have a brand new enemy that is sort of what the Fallen eventually became, I believe. Something like that. I forgot the exact lore behind it. But the cool thing is that this really big boss guy has all these sort of... It's sort of like the Beauty and the Beast in Guns of the Patriots. Mm. Oh. Like each sort of character has their thing. And you have to go hunt down all of these characters. And they all have like higher and higher recommended light levels or power levels. And they all have a sort of really cool mechanic behind them where, you know, it's not just shooting the guy, it's shooting the things to weaken the shield that is protecting him. And, you know, there's a lot of really cool gameplay elements.
So well-designed boss encounters.
Yes, exactly. It's not just shoot down this bullet sponge. You know, there's a lot of really cool, and they're all sort of different. They all have their own sort of vibe. They one of them is like a trickster, and he...
Loki.
Who in his world he will drop engrams that are bombs.
Oh neat!
Oh.
And so you'll pick one up and then nothing happens and you're holding it.
Yeah.
And then your ghost Nolan North would be like, oh my god, it's rigged to blow. It's right. So you have to throw it. But then throwing those bombs is sort of a gameplay element where you have to explode certain things in the world. So it's really cool. But Gambit is the new multiplayer mode.
A lot of people talk about
Sherry.
Gambit is really cool. You know, I think it's a little bit more interesting than Crucible would be, because I know you and I don't love PvP because I'm just kind of shit at PvP.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And so this has some PvP elements, but it's mostly PvE. So Gambit is, there's two teams of four and you hop into a world and the other team hops into a world and you're separate and it's sort of parallel universes, I guess, or whatever. And so you hop into this world and the guy who runs Gambit is like, all right, today your enemy is the Hive. And it's three different locations, I believe.
Okay.
The Hive are appearing at blah, blah, blah. So the point of the game is you kill enemies in the world. You kill either Hive, Vex, or Fallen. And each time you do, they drop a mote of light. You take the mote of light back to this little pod that's in the center of the stage, and that gives you a point. The first to 75 wins. Bigger enemies drop more motes or whatever.
Sure, sure, sure.
There's something that happens that triggers the other team's pod that where you deposit the motes at, it causes the pod to go into the ground and you can't access it anymore. And it spawns a really, really huge enemy near the pod. And I don't know exactly what causes it because I've only played a few matches so far. But every time I've killed certain enemies in the game, it'll say, oh, you just sent a so-and-so to the enemy team's world or whatever.
So it's like when you're playing Lumines or Tetris or whatever, you're sending attacks over to the other side as you go.
Kind of,
Like a thing. Yeah.
Essentially, the pod where you deposit the motes at goes down, and you have to take down the big enemy first.
Yeah.
Take him down. As soon as he's gone, the pod comes back up. You can deposit all your motes. Well, it's sort of this risk-reward thing where you could collect a bunch of motes, but if you get killed, all those motes are lost. Okay. So there was a point in my first match, I was just like, I couldn't imagine how much my teammates hated me because I had like 12 motes on me and then I got killed. I was like, oh, damn, I got killed.
Oh, man, sorry.
Gathered 8 more, died immediately. The enemies in this mode are a lot harder than they are in the actual world. So there's another cool element to it where you can go to your, well, essentially, when you get to 75 motes of light collected, a huge enemy appears, and you have to kill him, and then that ends the game or whatever. Okay. So his life slowly drowns out, goes down or whatever. But every once in a while, a portal opens to go to the enemy's world. And when you go to the enemy's world, you are going there to attack the other players. Oh. And if you kill them, not only do they drop motes of light or whatever, but if they are in the mode where they are attacking their final enemy in the final phase of the game, if you kill them, the enemy gains life.
Do you remember the Friends episode where Joey's hosting the game show?
Never watched Friends.
No. Do you know this? Anybody remember this?
I watched Friends.
I'm an old man, but there's this game show where he's hosting where they start describing the rules, and then after a while, they just sort of build on top to the point that it's cross the bamboozle bridge to get the draw card that takes you to the magic.
Okay,
I have no idea what you're describing at this point, but it sounds really,
really cool,
really fun.
It's really cool.
And that's
odd
because there's not much I care about in Destiny. Destiny really disappointed me. But what you're describing sounds great.
Well, what's crazy is like after one game, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It hits you immediately.
Cool.
And so
really
is that the main thing you're doing in Forsaken, or was it one night of single player content, or is it a whole bunch of single player
stuff? I'd say like 2 nights of single player content for me, where there are different enemies to take down. There's still a lot more that I haven't even touched a single. Like you end the story, but then a whole new world is unlocked after the ending
gotcha.
happens, and it's a lot higher level
How
stuff.
Were you already caught up on the other stuff? Did you play the other expansion?
So I bought the newest expansion, and with it comes an item that levels up one character to the lowest recommended level amount for Forsaken. And so when you do that, it says, hey, if you upgrade this one character, you can't access any of the previous DLC.
You cannot. Okay.
With this one character. You can do it with another character if you want, but doing this, skipping to Forsaken, makes all the other DLC like null or whatever.
Huh.
Okay. And so,
it isn't, right? Because you think about the other DLC wasn't what people wanted, right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was like, I was hopping on because I was like, all right, I'm going to stream this. I wanted to stream the new content. And I immediately was like, why am I not? I have to buy Forsaken. Oh, it wasn't part of the.
Oh, it's not part of the season pass.
It wasn't a part. It's like this is a new
like 40
season.
$40, right?
It's 40 for the base thing, 70 for the something, and 80 for the something.
Oh,
wait,
what's the something? Oh, we don't know. Okay.
Extra things. But I was like, all right, I'll get the $70 one. Whatever.
Damn.
So it's pretty pricey. And I was kind of bummed that it wasn't included in that initial group. But again, you know, we're spoiled. We get games for free. You know.
So if I want to play this game, and this isn't me being grumpy, man, but I've got to run out, buy Destiny 2, then buy this. So I'm in for...
Destiny 2 is free on PS Plus right now.
Yeah.
That's how they get you. But I mean, I'm having a blast with it. I know that a lot of the community is very happy with it, too. There are way too many things to do.
Yeah.
And that's what
that's a great
community wants.
That's what you want.
Like every person has their own bounty. Every like NPC that you meet with and talk to get to unlock things has like, hey, here's these 6 bounties that you can do to level up and get new gear with or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm having a blast with it. Gambit is super fun for somebody who does not like PvP. It was cool really jumping into that portal and taking down a few of them because they're busy trying to kill their guy and you could just pick them off from afar. You pick them off and it's like, good job, Guardian. And then you go back into your world and
everything's on fire.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's just really
every
cool.
Every time you say Gambit, I just see this French guy throwing playing cards at Guardian.
Yeah, so really awesome cool hair.
So I want that mode.
Cool hair.
It's awesome hair. Costume
Rogue
contains
making
body.
Out with him, yeah.
Costume. They got married. Well, they got married. It's pretty cool.
Anyway,
got...
I love Destiny awesome. 2 Forsaken. I think it's really cool, and it's what the community wanted, it seems
what
like.
What a surprise. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Wow. Shocking. And I, like, to the point where, you know, I had yesterday off or whatever, and it was, like, 4 a.m. I had screwed up my sleeping schedule. It's like, let me just go do a few more things, you know? And then it became that thing again.
The hallmark of Destiny,
it's
yeah.
such or a callback to last year when we first got back into it, where it's like, I love playing this, and I love chasing that carrot on the end of the stick. It's so rewarding. It's so, you know. I don't know. I love it.
Firewall, Greg.
Firewall Zero Hour. Mm-hmm. The PlayStation VR experience that's sweeping the nation. The number one download for PlayStation VR.
Good for
in
them.
The month of August.
Excellent.
Yeah, 100%. Firewall Zero Hour is amazing. Kevin and I have talked about it. We did, you know, a Games Daily with David from Upload VR. He had reviewed it. So me, Kevin, and him were talking about it. And I think I've just chimed in everywhere. So I'll keep it short. Mm-hmm. But... totally cool. I think we did talk about this on Gamescast last week. Yeah. We've played more of it. It continues to be awesome. I'm so stoked it's found an audience. I think it's so cool. I'm just blown away that it held up.
Yeah, I'm supposed to jump in and play with you, and then I totally flaked on that. Sorry.
You know how it is around here. We're all running around doing a million
Still,
things.
Still, I
want to
play this game.
That
sounds like ideal. Like, sounds perfect.
I'm going to go to Kevin's and steal his PSVR.
Cool, Greg. Can I get a
weekend?
One? Yeah. Thank you.
We're talking about a firewall now. We're about to talk about Donut Country.
County. Firewall's awesome. Everybody get Firewall. If you missed any other time we've talked about it, PlayStation VR, Rainbow Six, Vegas, Terrorist Hunt. It's amazing. 4v4 is awesome.
Now, Donut Country is Portable Hole the game, right?
Yeah, Portable Hole the game.
I cannot wait to play this.
Donut County is awesome.
What is Donut County?
Donut County is you are a raccoon. And you have banished all of your townspeople, who are all mostly humans, or well, your best friend's a human. The other people are animals as well. You've all banished. You had a hole you were moving around town that was sucking people in, and now you're all underground and around a fire. They all like
fuck?
It's an airing of grievances, basically, of like, well, what they're trying to piece it together, and the raccoon's smarmy, and he won't admit that he did it, and so like, well, all right, Jared, how did you find up in the hole? He's like, well, I ordered donuts delivery, and then they banter about that, and then you go play that level where the raccoon's on his basically controlling his little drone, but it's just a hole in the ground, and he goes around, and it's like a lot of people have called it similar to Katamari. Thank you so much, which is true, but it's different in a way. Like I think Joey played it before I did. And we were having Ben on the Kind of Funny Games Daily. And I was talking to him about it, and it was like, or talking to her about it. I'm like, all right, cool. I haven't played yet. And it's like Katamari. She's like, yeah, but it's Zen. Like, there's no, and I talked to him about it too. There's no timer counting down. There's no, are you going to get this done in time? It is like, it's a puzzle game you're going to solve eventually no matter what. And it's not even that much of a puzzle because you start as a small hole and you can only suck up small things. But the more things you suck up, the bigger the hole gets. Yeah. So then you start getting everything.
I played a bit at E3.
Yeah, it's just this goofy little physics game, right? Of taking things down and sucking them in. And then the story of this, everything was fine in the town until these raccoons came in. Mm. And now you got to go and talk to King Raccoon about, hey, maybe we shouldn't be sucking everybody up in holes. And it's nonsense, but it's cute, adorable, fun nonsense, and it's 2 hours.
This game's been in development a really long time.
A very long time. So. You can get that all on Kind of Funny Games Daily, that story. But of course, I thought it looked cute. It had a great, it had been, you know, obviously teased forever ago. Yeah. But for me, it stuck out when it came to PSX and they put it up. They put a funny trailer together. And I was like, oh, that seems interesting. And then, all right, 2 hours. It's an easy platinum, of course. But like, it's not like the other easy platinum games I play that are garbage. This one was like, you know, this is really fun, and it was really cute, and, you know, I tweeted out the screenshot of it, but it's like the loading screen always says, like, have a garbage day, because they're raccoons, and they love garbage. They just want everybody's garbage, and that's why they're sucking people up in holes.
This is just little raccoons walking around.
Ange and I play a lot of single-player games together, where one
is perfect
for that.
This is perfect, because, like, it's that thing of let her play, and you just listen and read the conversations and laugh at them, because the dialogue's hilarious, the raccoon's funny, like, they play on tropes here and there, but it's really, really well done. I was caught off guard with how much I liked the game.
Yeah. So speaking of easy platinum games, on the bad garbage side.
Sure.
Greg, we're skipping ahead to Little Adventure on the Prairie.
Little Adventure on the Prairie.
Give me the pitch, Greg.
The pitch on this one is the one I talked to you about, I think, on this show, right? Salem, Ghanem El Ghanem, a longtime Kind of Funny best friend, supporter of all the shows. had, if you remember, a Kotaku article popped up of like, hey, people are buying terrible games for easy trophies, and it's kind of keeping the Vita alive. And this was one of them, of like this game that you buy, and it's an easy platinum, and I have my platinum open, right? Yeah, it took me 37 minutes to do it, you know, to get the platinum in it.
Holy shit.
And let me tell you, and that's not even, I have other ones on here shorter. Let me tell you, Greg Miller has been covering games professionally up for 12 years next year, next spring, right? Playing games my entire life. This is literally the worst game I've ever played. Wow. And I don't, Salem made no bones about it in his fucking Kotaku thing of like, they were like, it's not a good game. And he knows it's not a good game. They just needed funding to get their next game going. So why not slap trophies on this piece of shit and put it out? And that's what they did. Gosh. And it is unabashedly terrible.
I want to make a 10-episode Netflix series about the making of this game, about a bunch of people sitting around
the decisions going through.
Yeah,
going
read into that. The Kotaku story. Well, I had seen it originally, and then Salem saw me tweeting about Super Destroyer, not DX, and that's when he hit me up. He's like, "Hey, dude, we made this one. You might have seen the art." I was like, "Holy shit! Yeah, thanks for the code. All right, cool." And like, and they talk about like sometimes the character gets caught on the geometry of the level and shit like that. I'm like, "But how bad?" And it's like, "Holy shit! Is this game bad?" Yeah. Like, just no sound effects. It's 2D, like side scrolling or whatever, but you're a character with a little a sword, and you just walk, and these enemies come up to you, right? And you swing, it's like marionettes, but it's not meant to be. You're just swinging this sword around wildly, hitting them in the head, and if you stay on the ground, they'll attack you. They only walk so far, and then they'll stop. So, like, you're taking damage, so, like, you have to figure out where the sweet spot of is walking towards them, getting them to stop, and then going back a little bit so you don't get hit, and then just sitting and doing this. Then, if you really want, the pro maneuver here, Andy,
listen up, guys,
is that you walk towards them, and before they swing, if you jump, you'll collide a little bit with like their head, and they'll just stand there. And then you swing your sword up and down, and every downstroke will eventually tap them in the head, and then they'll die. So, and then you jump to the next character, and like you're not standing on their head. It'd be like if I jumped up, Andy, and I just hovered here.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Not on top of your head. I'm hovering. My geometry's caught in your geometry. Yeah.
Collision
and then
boxes.
Do this, and then
game
there's one set of enemies where all of a sudden, and I don't know, I don't think it's on purpose, you can hop over them, and then it gets all fucked up, and you can't do that. So this is when, yeah, they walk towards you, you walk towards them, they stop, you move back a little bit, and then you gotta inch towards them to find the part where only your sword can hit them and they can't hit you.
So how did like, this is some kid's Unity homework assignment turned into a commercial product, it sounds like. How did this pass cert? Like,
oh, PlayStation doesn't care. It works.
Yeah,
game works. You can.
Does that count as working? I mean,
what Life of Black Tiger counts as working, right?
If it boots up, it works.
Yeah, I think honestly, like, I mean, let's call a spade here. And this is just, you know, I'm trying to make sure. I think this was discussed. Let's just be. I'm not sure anymore what's on the record, off the record, if I can attribute to. PlayStation's not worried, I don't think, about the quality of their game. They're worried about you admitting you're just putting it out for trophies. And I think if you stay away from that messaging, even though Salem went that way, he didn't put it on, like, he didn't pull the 5-star top rated trophy bullshit.
It wasn't
he
in the description.
He didn't put
this.
That in the description of, like, hey,
Little Adventure on the Prairie. Like, what a shit name. It's like, what the fuck?
It's cool, Greg. Will you bring up Little Adventure on the Prairie in YouTube? Oh. PS4. To show them what I'm talking about.
Like, Greg, you reviewed games for many years at IGN.
Yeah.
Like, how many did you review? Over 100 games?
Oh yeah, easy.
Over 200 games?
Probably. Yeah.
What's the lowest number you've ever given a game, off the top of your head?
I think a 2.5 maybe once.
Wow.
Naughty Bear got a 3.
What would you give this game on the Greg Miller scale?
I mean,
oh, it's a guy from Gorillaz.
It's 2D.
It's 2D.
What would I give?
Oh, it is in Unity.
Of course it is.
Oh,
show it to them if they see.
Oh,
yeah.
He's way too far to the right of the screen. You can't see anything coming.
Hold on, cool guy. Oh. Well, that doesn't matter for this game. Now, what he's done is he's gone underground.
Konami Wi-Fi world.
Oh, no, he went the wrong way. Now he's hopping up. See, you float a little bit there. You see what's happening here? That's not on purpose. That's not. It's just like how it's.
Even worry about the tiling textures.
No, I mean, like, it signifies that you are in a different area. You know what I mean? That's the thing. The problem is I don't have the IGN scale in front of me anymore. Yeah. Right, 3 was bad. And then 2 was awful. 1 was abysmal. Cool guy, can you please show it again? But like, show it, like, skip to them finding an enemy. No, no, it's not you. How would you know? You don't know what's going on. You're not doing this.
Here comes
an enemy watch. And then see, you do this little, you do this little flight mechanic.
They just disappear?
Yeah. Oh,
they don't go anywhere.
There's no sound effect, and yeah, they just disappear. And this is hot lava, but you can kind of hover across the entire way.
Okay.
And there you go. See, there's no ending. It's just you killed the amount of monsters you needed to kill in that level, which nobody knew the amount until it happened.
I feel much better about entering game development
than
I used
really
to.
It's really bad. And again, unabashedly. So yeah, it's what it is. And I played it on Vita while Jen was watching a movie or whatever. And I was like, wow, I finished it. I was like, wow, that was one of the worst games. That is the worst game I've ever played. And then the next night I played it on PlayStation 4.
So the Japanese have a term, kusoge, which is a blending of two words. Kuso, which is shit or shitty, and ge, game. And they put it together, and any Japanese game store has what they call a kusoge corner.
Yeah, oh, this would be in that corner. This would definitely be in that corner.
Yeah, this is like first-rate kusoge.
But it's
right
like,
there.
And it's one of those things of I looked at the trophy guide, and like you can't miss this trophy.
I love how Ray Narvaez replied to your tweet about like, I've been there, man. Like, yeah. I got to play this shitty game for these achievements, and it's what you do. It's what you got
to
do.
So 5 to 5.9 is mediocre. 4 to 4.9 is bad.
Oh really?
3 to 3.9 is awful.
Yeah. Okay.
2 to 2.9 is painful. And 1 to 1.9 is unbearable. 0 to 0.9 is disaster.
The thing that is, you would not have played this game if you didn't have scale.
Oh, of course. Oh, my God. No way.
So
no way.
It can't be unbearable.
No, and that's the thing is, it's not unbearable. You know what I mean? It's
but is it
what
a
was
disaster?
The three?
Awful, and then it was painful, and then unbearable.
I guess it's awful, right? Because it's not.
That looks painful to me.
I would have a different perspective.
Look at this little freak.
I mean, why would you do this? Why would anyone? You spent money for this.
No, I got codes.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people. Now, here. Now, let's for a second though. Stop. Put a pin in that. If I had been told how easy the platinum is, and I would have spent money on this.
Really?
I spent money on Super Destroyer. Now, granted, not a bad game.
No, wait. Okay. Now, if they just offered platinums for money.
Yeah, take them.
Would you buy them?
Yeah, why not?
You would?
I got a couple bucks. Give me a platinum. Why not, buddy? Let's just make. It would be when I want the number nice and round, right? Like right now, it's at 77. I think it's like, that's ugly. 80. Let me get it 80.
So you would spend like 40
bucks?
On
no, I wouldn't spend 40 bucks on it. That's outrageous. You got to be a man.
Greg Miller, where is your line?
Would you
pay 10 bucks?
It depends. Right now, I'm at 77, Tim.
Yeah.
What do I got to do for that sweet 23? How much is 23 trophies? How much are you selling 23 trophies for right now?
I don't know. $1,000.
No, fuck no. Jesus, God. No.
$500.
No. I'm not. I'm definitely not.
100.
Cracking. I don't believe you.
That's where I start debating. That's where I start. Do I want $100 to get 23 trophies right now?
Somewhere in Sony headquarters right now, Gio's watching this going,
No. They're all horrified at Sony HQ. Where the fuck is Slide? Green light Slide for America.
What's Slide?
Slide is 5-star trophy, top rated trophies renamed. It's out in Europe. Why isn't it here? And that'll be the thing. You'll know when I've gone around the bend on this trophy business when I make the European account to buy the European games to then log back into my American account and play the European games to get the European trophies.
You fucking drug addict, dude.
It just comes in waves. Like, you can look at I have my trophy list open because I knew we were going to talk about stuff today, right? And you can see where it's like, I'm good for a long time, and then I get like the taste. It's like, oh, I platinum God of War, and then I did Batman, and I was like, okay. Then Tacoma, I was like, okay. Then Detroit, and then Detroit was one where I was like, man, I'm close to some milestones, and me and Kevin finally did A Way Out. I did Old Man's Journey, and then it was 2 Super Destroyer Knots, then it's 2 Little Adventure on the Prairie, then you got Donut County, then you got Spider-Man. I'm just telling you, man, it's fun. Enjoy life, all right? I don't tell you guys how to fucking enjoy your time. Ashley's over here
you
bamboozling
do.
People in the ghost dimension. Everybody's fine with that gameplay.
Going back, Cool Greg, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead, the final season.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this yet, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, it's because we had to take time off of what have we been playing for a bunch of different cool topics and everything else. Played episode 1 of The Walking Dead, the final season. Worth pointing out today on Games Daily, we went through, I believe, actually, I don't need to believe. I have writing on the back of this. Yeah, the 8th top download for the PSN for the month of August, which I think is a pretty nice. The only other new game on there before it was Madden at number 1. The rest were probably sales and things like that. I think it's a great episode. I'm excited for where we're going. I think even though it's not the new engine, you know, they're not using Unity or
they're talking
Unreal.
About being an Unreal. Yeah,
they're not. It's still the Telltale engine. They definitely spent a lot of time on this. You know, this is what they've talked about with. dialing back, doing fewer projects, more care to them. It looks really nice graphically. There's a lot more visual effects going on. Like, even in the opening scene, Clem's driving a car, and they have the windows down, and the D on her hat, like, the stitching's come off the top of it, so it's, like, flapping in the wind.
Cool.
And they really went through and gave a better... not better, I guess, but I like a more detailed art style than I think even they had in the last one, last season of it, which was Walking Dead, Last Frontier. New Frontier. Story's interesting. I like where we start. I hated AJ, and if you have no idea who AJ is, don't worry. This is my favorite part about it, right? Because I talked about it so much of like, man, I think a lot of people lapsed after season one being so spectacular, and we got two, and we got 400 days, and all this different crap. I think they lapsed from there, and this one very clearly opens with, it read my decisions and like said things I did, but it is very much super season one Lee heavy, and then this person took care of me, I met some other people, this thing happened, and now I'm here with eight, and it's like, okay, cool.
It's like you, Superman Returns, just like, hey, three and four, this didn't really ever
happen. Exactly, yeah, they happen, right, and like, you, here's a basis of like, you're taking care of this kid named AJ, right? All right, let's go, and you jump in from there. AJ, I thought was cool. It's interesting, and he's basically a child Clem's been raising. And so it's cool to see a kid raised in this world where it is zombie land, right? Where they're, you know, he doesn't know touchstones for real things. And like the nursery rhymes he knows on how to protect himself and like what to do.
Sorry, didn't you just say you don't like AJ?
I didn't like AJ.
Okay.
This episode, I liked him. Cool. I didn't like AJ as a plot device before.
Got it.
I thought he was mishandled. And in a game of choices, they didn't give me the right choices I felt for. Interesting cast of characters we're introduced to. I feel as somebody who has played everything... like, there's a conversation you have that you start talking a little bit about Lee, and it's like, oh, man, this is cool, but for me, it's like, this is something we did in season two with Scott Porter's character. So, like, doing this again, I'm just like, it isn't as impressive, but I get it that if you lapsed and you came in, you'd want to have that conversation again. And it is powerful, and it is interesting, and I want to see where they're going. I like, you know, they've announced all the dates. It's just four episodes. You know what's happening and when it's coming. So
when's it end?
I think December is the final one, if that's correct.
Right? I like that they announced all the dates ahead of time. They've never done that before.
End of an era.
No, yeah. And that's the thing. They're making it into an event, right?
Yeah.
That it is the end of Clem's story.
Yeah. That's awesome. Interested to see if they continue with the tool or if they do move to Unreal like some people
have
speculated.
They have to move, right? That thing's got so many problems. I think it's just been so easy to sit there and be like, this is not good. Like, why are we still here? I'm fact-checking on IGN.com, and they are just talking about this season's first episode.
Cool, Greg. Can I steal another drink, man?
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
While we're waiting on that,
December 18th, final episode.
If y'all give a damn about Overwatch, the Overwatch World Cup is going on right now.
Oh!
And it's,
what does that mean?
It's a really cool way to watch your country's sort of fight for the championship, I guess. So,
is this related to just Overwatch League, season?
It is now. So, before Overwatch League existed, they still had the World Cup. This is the third World Cup they're doing. I didn't watch the other World Cups. I wasn't invested in esports because the only reason why I care about Overwatch League is because it's tied to cities or tied to states, and you care about the locations. Mm-hmm. Where before it's, you know, Team Envy versus FaZe Clan. It's like, I don't know who these people are. Why should I root for them? But the Overwatch League has really got me into, you know, competitive Overwatch. And so right now, it's really cool watching the really good pros from this team in the Overwatch League and this team. And it's like, oh, those guys are both from the U.S. Now they're playing for Team USA, you know.
America!
Yeah, it's really cool. It's, you know, there's a really good player on the Los Angeles Gladiators who is from Canada. There was a really good player. I forgot where he plays, but both Canadian. Now they're both playing for Team Canada. So day one started today. It's just really cool seeing all these pros that I've gotten to know through watching Overwatch League and now seeing some of them team up to play for Team Finland or whatever.
That's cool.
It's really awesome.
Who's the plucky underdog? Like, who do we need to keep an eye on? They're going to come out and surprise everybody.
I am not sure. I know that like the by far the favorite is South Korea.
Okay.
Essentially all of South Korea's team is all pros. Mm-hmm. Where the rest of a lot of the other teams, some of them are not in the Overwatch League. For example, this morning Canada was playing Brazil.
Okay.
And there's a few pros on Canada's team who are in the Overwatch League.
And you know them because you see them play. But Brazil has nobody that you've ever heard of because they're not in the actual Overwatch League.
Interesting.
But they're part of like Overwatch Contenders, which is sort of like the minor leagues or whatever. Hmm. And so this morning, like, Brazil's playing and they are giving, like, you expect Canada to whip ass because they're all pros. And they are getting a run for their money playing against Brazil.
Nice.
And like at halftime, they talk to one of the guys from Brazil and they're like, so how do you feel? And he's like, look, we know we're not the best team. We just want to make the other, we just want to make the other team sweat, and we think we're doing a pretty good job. And like a few of the matches were like close, and the matches would end. You see Team Canada like, holy shit! Like we weren't expecting that from these people that nobody's heard of. You know?
Yeah, my wife Angie says she hates all sports and loves all sports movies. And it's kind of the same for me. I don't play a lot of esports games, but I love the drama around events like this.
Awesome.
So I love it. I love to have somebody tell me the story of that. It's kind of how I consume baseball, largely through reading baseball writing as opposed to actually watching the games. I like having passionate people like you just be like, and then this happened, and this. And I'm like, ooh, now I care.
Yeah,
and
it's really cool. So if you watch or care about Overwatch at all, I think getting into, because I've had a lot of people tweeting me, hey, what's a good way to get into the Overwatch League? Is it hard to follow? I don't think it is. I think it's a matter of like, oh, what team should I root for? I think if you watch the World Cup and if you are American, obviously you'd root for the USA or whatever, or you'd root for Canada or wherever. But that'll get, that's sort of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the gateway drug into figuring out, oh, this team has all of these players. Oh, and this player plays for the Dallas Fuel, and this player plays for the Seoul. I forgot who Seoul Korea's team is or whatever. Or it's the New York Excelsior is like the powerhouse in the Overwatch League because all of their team is like comprised of like some of the best players from South Korea. It's just really cool. I think it's fascinating to watch. Yeah,
got it. Luminous.
Play more Luminous.
Any updates?
I mean, it's...
Did you platinum it yet?
No. Well, see, what had happened is when Luminous dropped, Jared was here. He saw my excitement and my
Luminous
joy.
Luminous dropped. Yeah, hey. Look at that. Nice.
No, I forget. It came out, and then immediately something else came out that we needed more imminently, and that was more critical for me to do. And so the other night, Spider-Man's platinumed. I'm back from travel. I'm trying not to save it, obviously, but I'm infatuated with Valkyria Chronicles 4. I'm infatuated with Octopath. We got the 10-hour flight to London and back. I've just been... only leaving those for planes. And so I was playing another game for review that I can't talk about yet. And I was like, all right, cool. This is a little too intense for me right now. Like I need to, I'm kind of on autopilot like right now. So I jumped in and did, I'm just going to play a match of Luminous. And so an hour and a half later, the match was over. And I was like,
okay,
now I want to do some of the other stuff.
First you said drop, then you're using match. I are you doing this on purpose?
It's just there naturally.
Okay,
you know
it's kind
of
beautiful.
But then it was the Siren Song, the elixir of the trophies. Right. I knocked out one. I was like, oh, fuck. Well, I got to start working. So I'm back on that bullshit, right? Of, you know, I'm in.
Back on my bullshit.
I'm there. I'm starting to chip away at it. I'm chipping away at the trophy list on my way to platinum. But it's going to be tough. There's
chipping away now.
I was a good Red Hot Chili's member.
Now, you talked about, I don't remember who it was, but you were mentioning you're great at Luminous. And there was somebody on, I think, Sony staff that's great at Tetris Effect.
Justin Massigill from the PlayStation blog is a Tetris savant.
Okay. So
and when I was at E3, and this is one of the reasons, too, is that Firewall, of course, has me using the PlayStation VR a lot again, right? And so I'm always, every time I'm done with a Firewall match, I'm like, do I want to tinker with something else? And I keep, every time I have that moment, I'm like,
Tetris Effect.
Where is Tetris Effect?
Yeah.
And so that Luminous is there, and it's on Switch. So even on the plane, when I'm like, I want something way quicker than a Valkyria match, I jump into Luminous here. No, Justin, amazing at Tetris.
And you mentioned maybe that y'all do a tournament where you play Luminous and Tetris Effect and then a third weird puzzle game.
Yeah, we might have to come to you to find a weird puzzle.
I definitely found the weird puzzle.
Don't tell me what it is.
Found it.
Because that's the thing.
You don't want to leg up.
Exactly. Justin, I think, has admitted that I'm better at Luminous than him. Yeah. I've definitely admitted he's better than Tetris. Of course, anything can happen out there in the field. Yeah, you got shapes dropping, lines and squares dropping. Disappearing. You're all over the place. But yeah. All
right. Yeah, I have found your third tiebreaker.
The Luminous scratch has definitely reignited the where the fuck is it? And then again, while we're in the same vein of I'm wearing this headset asking about games, where the fuck is Beat Saber? We played Beat Saber. Mm. I was one of the first people to tweet out about Beat Saber. Not that I'm saying that like a big deal, but I was like, holy shit, this game looks awesome. And then playing it at the Amazon stream when we did the Oculus setup there, I was like, oh shit. And then they announced it, you know, for VR or PlayStation VR. I'm like, yes. And now it's this thing of like, I'm like, I would totally be sitting here acting like a moron right now playing Beat Saber.
Beat Saber just sounds dirty.
It does.
Beat Saber is fucking.
It is dirty too.
Incredible,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It plays nasty.
It's nasty. Yeah. It's nasty beats. Video Kid.
Yeah.
It's a game both of you guys played.
Right. I only played for, yeah, like 30, 40 minutes because it's hard as fuck. It's just like Paper Boy. It's a paper. You tell him, Jared.
No, I after you, Greg.
No, you.
You! All right. So, yeah, it's Paper Boy. Except you don't have limited ammunition, which means you can just throw videotapes all you want. It's a three-lane conversion of, like, it's a three-lane conversion of Paper Boy. There's only three lanes you can actually be in. It's actually an old Steam game that's been ported over to Switch. But it's fine. It's fun. It's probably worth about what they're charging for it, but its main thing is ridiculously wonderful copyright infringement. Yep. That's its gimmick.
Yep.
I mean,
are Marty McFly. You're delivering VHS tapes as you go. The Ninja Turtles are running down the street.
Big Bird's attacking you.
The chipmunks are there just hanging out.
And when we say like copyright infringement, this is like Ready Player One levels of copyright infringement. There's literally dozens of things happening at once, all of which are throwback references, and that's kind of its gimmick. It's a fine arcade game. I think the right lane is a little too dangerous. I think they should have spent a little more time polishing
the entire
that
thing. Is like I'm playing and I'm like, all right, it's like my third. Oh, I'm dead immediately.
Yeah,
like I'm like not even to house one yet.
Bad city planning right there, man.
Yeah, it is. But I started getting a feel for it. Like once I knew what to look for, I definitely got a little better at it. It's not a standout breakthrough game, but it's perfectly good and interesting.
Yeah.
So it's not Paperboy 1, but at least it's not Paperboy 64.
I would rather play this game than Paperboy 1. Paperboy 1 is a very memorable game, and I love the bicycle controller, but I don't actually like to play it.
Huh.
It's okay.
The soundtrack, though, man.
The soundtrack's good. It's just too hard.
It slaps everybody.
It's hard in the wrong ways.
Yeah. Everything's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Video Kid. What a weird concept.
Yeah.
We're going to throw VHS tapes.
Yeah. Sure. Was that Paper Boy?
Just like Video they
do. And do tricks. You can, however, I do support the fact that you can also put on a Cookie Monster skin in this game.
You
can be a skateboarding Cookie Monster.
Oh, okay, sure. Of course.
Going
as
through the
streets
throwing videotapes at people. I do like it's an improvement that you don't have limited ammunition. That was Paper Boy's biggest weakness, was that you can just throw all the time.
Yeah.
Pac-Man 256 you put on your list.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. I didn't like Pac-Man 256 when it was a mobile game with all that free-to-play crap in it. Whatever. This is not. Why don't we take a really great idea for a video game and then ruin it?
Yeah.
And
see, for me, I thought it was okay because the paywall that they would hit you with, I was like, this is the exact amount I wanted to play this game. Now I can stop. Like, it was a good way for me to be like, all right, this. In an hour or two, I'll come back to it, maybe.
Okay.
Or not.
Well, what I found myself surprised by, there was a random PlayStation sale a couple of weeks ago, and it was knocked down to like $3. So I just grabbed it on PS4. The console port of that, which is admittedly an old game now, really good. It's got some problems. It's still got a little of that old mobile game DNA in it. It's not trying to get more money out of you at all, but some of the design choices that were made to make it a good mobile game make it not as good when they're just giving you everything in increments. It progression is just too slow on the weapons. There's some genuine like fine tuning went into that game. And as your abilities change, as you level up your weapons and gain custom loadouts, there are a lot of different ways to approach that maze that have all been anticipated by the designers and different play styles you can really hit it with. And they don't open those doors quickly enough outside the paywall system. But all that said, it's a surprisingly deep, very good arcade game that I really kind of missed the first time around. And I'm glad I gave a second chance. I have been diving in for, it's just like, oh, one more run. One more run, one more run. And it's all about getting that high score and discovering that there's real skill-based improvement to be made in it. Didn't you play much of it?
I played it on mobile a ton. Like, yeah. It was one of my go-to airplane mobile games that it was just like I would play. But then, yeah, once hit the paywall, I was just like, flip back over to Paper Blast.
I strongly encourage you, if you're looking for something to just eat a few hours away and dive into and get good at, it's got that quality. I'd say it's a very solid B. Like, if it was on a report card, it's a very solid B game full of creative ideas.
I'm sorry, I missed this at the beginning. What are you playing it on now?
PS4.
Okay.
Because that takes all the...
You talk about the death of the microtransaction.
Right.
And like,
yeah. But the problem, the replacement system, unfortunately, still is too grindy. That's my main complaint.
Is there a platinum trophy, and is it easy?
I don't know.
I guarantee it's not easy.
I don't even know if there are trophies.
Is it a free-to-play game?
No.
Then it has trophies. Okay. Don't worry. I'll get to the bottom of this, everybody.
Yeah.
was worried.
Thank God.
But yeah, a game that turned me off before, I'm having a lot of fun with now.
Did you play it, Andy?
Awesome. No.
It's
oh, God, no. Oh, God, no.
Cosmic Star Heroine.
Yeah, there we go. Cosmic Star Heroine is... Did any of y'all play this?
Mm-mm. No, I remember when it came out, I gave it a shot, and I was like, nah, I'm not a turn-based guy.
Well, it is turn-based, but yeah. It's really creative turn-based. What they do, the juggle, the way you have to use abilities in turn-based and constantly keep an eye on the action meter. Turn-based, you know, you struck the orc struck you for a little while. But once you did the game a little bit, if you play like that, you will lose. It's all about using the items. It's all about using the shield effects. It's all about juggling your abilities around your party in each encounter. And things get really tense and harrowing. And I love it. So this game is a, like, think Octopath Traveler, but made by a very small team, and it's about Blade Runner super spies from the future. Kind of looks like an old Square Enix game would look or feel.
It had been previewed forever.
Yeah.
This is one we saw forever and ever and ever at PAX.
Yeah, I played it on Steam originally, yeah. And it's by the guys that did Cthulhu Saves the World and the Penny Arcade, the best of the Penny Arcade RPGs. And,
Precipice of Darkness.
They make really great stuff. This is kind of their own IP, their own project. It's good on Steam. I've been playing it now on Switch, and I really, really like it. If you're looking for a meaty RPG that's not very expensive and will give you a lot to do.
Do you like it more than you like Octopath? I know that, you know.
Ask me that in a week.
Okay.
I don't think I like it more than Octopath, but it's different enough that I really enjoy it.
Siri, ask him again in a week.
I want to call out, of course, Pac-Man 256 has a bullshit trophy list, all right? 2 golds, 1 silver, a bunch of bronzes for 10 total trophies.
No platinum?
No.
Ah, there
cowards.
We go.
Cowards. Cowards.
Oh, by the way, I want to apologize to everyone for these red onion burps that have continued.
Horrible.
They are.
They're not getting over here. They're just all going to you.
Yeah. There was a moment, I think it was when I said Luminous. Where you can scroll back and see it, where it happened. And I was like, am I going to throw up right now? Holy shit.
It's been going. I've been drinking this LaCroix, and they just kind of all...
I get it, dude. The bubbly. Samurai Gun 2.
Yeah. All right. So Samurai Gun 2 played at PAX with the developers, came by and got a little time with that. I've ran it on Samurai Gun before. Did y'all play that?
Just Devolver, right?
Huh?
Devolver's publishing?
I don't know who's publishing it. I was just talking to the devs. I actually don't know who's going to do the final publishing on this. But Samurai Gun 2, the sequel to Samurai Gun, which is my favorite 4-player couch competitive Smash Brothers type game of all time.
Man, we got a party mode, man.
Yeah, it's a spectacular game. You can understand what you're supposed to do in about 30 seconds, but it's redonkulous deep. And a very, very simple control scheme, quick to master, no unlocking crap, just straight in and play. Lightning fast gameplay. That's what makes it feel so wonderful. It's all about bouncing off each other, getting that perfect hit, dropping down on somebody and surprising them. Limited resources per life.
Double Fine presents Double Samurai Gun.
There you go.
So it's, and I played, they're not releasing the new game till 2019. It's perfectly situated for Switch. Everything they're changing for this one fixes what minor issues there were to fix in Samurai Gun, which was kind of near perfect anyway. The new abilities they've added add to the game without making it more complicated. They've added kind of a dash ability that uses the same ammo as your Samurai Gun does. And so you've got a kind of a risk-reward thing there, a paper, rock, scissors that builds. Can't wait.
I love the very minimal art style.
Oh, it's great. Really cool. Yeah, the art's beautiful. So, yeah, I talked to him about maybe bringing it in for a party mode eventually. Cool. So,
yeah, that'd be awesome. Rad.
That sounds great. Greg.
Yeah.
You played a bunch of PAX games. You want to save that for next week?
I don't think I'm here next week.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. Like, don't even worry about it.
Okay.
I played a lot of good stuff at PAX. There's a lot of cool shit I want to make sure we do party modes with, too, because there's a lot of really, really cool multiplayer stuff happening, as usual, in the indie scene. Yep. All sorts of cool stuff.
Things happen. Nick Scarpedo.
Is it that time?
It's that time.
Oh my gosh. Is Nick going to sing for us?
I think he doesn't need to sing. Hey, we have a song number one. And then I gave Nick permission to give us his rendition of the song he's never heard because he doesn't watch the show.
Great.
I did not give you permission, Andy Cortez, number one games journalism. I'd prefer it if you stay in your
lane.
Here he comes.
All right, Nick.
Nick Scarpedo and Andy Cortez's first mobile game or bullshit.
Again, I'm undefeated. I want you to know that. I've never lost at mobile game or bullshit.
I've only won once.
But Nick, you're kind of going down. You got a lot of challengers.
Nick rolls his eyes at that statement.
Cool, Greg. His mic's up, right?
At it.
All right.
I scoff at that statement.
Scoff at you. Scoff
Nick, hit us with the theme song for mobile game or Atari 2600 game.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Yep.
Mighty mobile game or Atari 600, 2600.
That's a callback because you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, sure. That's how comedy works, guys. Keep saying it until someone laughs, then walk away slowly.
Jared, what are we doing today?
All right, what we're doing today is mobile game or Atari 2600 game. Because we have four contestants, we are actually going to do seven, not five, but seven different games. I actually have a list of over 20 in front of me because I was still finishing mobile gamer bullshit when I got the text from Tim that's like, hey, where are you? And it's like, I'm supposed to be here at three. He's like, oh. So then I got here. Up. Yep. So I burped onions all over him for the whole show. Make up for that. All right. So what you're going to do is very simply say, if this is a mobile game or an Atari 2600.
Mobile game. No, that's not how you play the game.
No fancy descriptions this time. Just the names to go all the way around. And I think, yeah.
I have a question as the champion. Is there going to be one that's both, or is it, are these
not this time?
Okay, good.
I had a both, but I'm going to simplify it. Joey, I have a tiebreaker, though, if we need it.
Joey, get my belt.
Oh, he's getting the belt. You're off camera.
God damn it.
Don't worry. That won't stop him. That won't stop the champ.
All right.
Joey, get my belt.
Say please.
Yeah, can you?
Number one, mobile game or Atari 2600 game. We're going to start with Nick. Going to go around the table this way to Tim.
Okay.
Start with the best. Yeah. Dial like the rest.
Big Bird's Egg Catch.
Big Bird's Egg Catch.
Yes. Is that a mobile game or an Atari 2600?
Mobile game.
All right. Greg Miller.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Mobile game. No, that was me putting Nick down as mobile. I'm saying it's an Atari game.
Okay.
I'm going Atari game as well.
Atari game?
I'm going mobile.
Mobile game. Number two, Pepsi Invaders.
Jesus.
Tim.
I don't like it.
Pepsi Invaders.
I'm going mobile game.
Mobile game.
I'm going mobile game as
mobile
well.
Mobile game.
I am going Atari game.
Atari game.
I'm also going to go Atari game. Pepsi doesn't have the kind of money to develop a mobile game right now.
Tim would have put that in the bullshit category.
Yeah.
All right. Nick Scarpino.
God damn it.
Number three.
Your belt's going to sit here by yourself now? By itself?
It's
without fine. The champ?
You ready? Oh, what is this?
What did I bring down upon us?
Oh, no.
Yeah, hit me with the Jerry. No. Hit me with the J-Rock.
Ahoge Chanbara.
Ahoge? Chanbara.
Yeah, Chanbara.
Chanbara or Chanbara? Because there's two different meanings
Chanbara.
In those. Mobile game.
Mobile game. Greg.
I am saying mobile game as well.
Mobile game.
I, fucking too, am saying that. Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game. Everybody's saying mobile game for... Wow. Number four, Tim Geddes.
Yes.
Snoopy and the Red Baron.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Atari 2600.
Atari 2600 game. Greg Miller.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
I'm also going to go Atari on this.
Atari 2600 game. Number six.
Five?
No, wait, is this five?
Okay,
yeah. Sorry, I don't have them labeled like
it's
normal.
Fine.
All right. Number five. Oh, wait. Whoa. What's this?
Gary Witt is here for the comic show.
Gary
the show's gone
Jared,
too long.
I'm out on a ledge. This is yet another opportunity for me to beat Greg and Tim. Please continue.
You got it. Nick Scarpino.
Yes.
Chuck Norris Super Kicks.
Oh, that's got to be an Atari 2600 game.
Atari 2600 game.
Yep.
Oh, fuck me running. I'm going to say that is a mobile game.
Mobile
what
game.
What was it called again?
Chuck Norris Super Kicks.
I hope that's
I'm
a mobile
say
game.
Mobile
I hope
game.
That's something I can play right now.
That has to be a mobile game.
All right. Mobile game. Number
Chuck Norris hasn't
six
been picked
here.
Since 1962.
Communist Mutants from Space.
Shit.
Tim.
Shit. I'm going mobile.
Mobile game.
Same mobile game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
I'll say mobile game.
Mobile game. Wow. Across
back
the board
when
the
Atari was happening, we weren't joking around about communists.
Yeah.
All right.
That was
right.
The 80s.
It'd be
man.
Like right now, the fucking PlayStation's publishing and Al Qaeda presents the death of freedom. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not going out.
Let's all go to North Korea's pool.
All right. And number seven. Next
final game.
Yeah.
This
final
planet countdown. Sucks.
This planet sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
I'm going to say mobile game as well.
Mobile game.
Me too.
All right. Mobile. Here we go. All right. We're going to go down this list here now. Greg Miller, number one was Big Bird's Egg Catch.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
For the Atari 2600.
God dang it.
Thank you. Right. Andy and I are on the board.
Woo! Yeah, not to be confused with Cookie Monster Munch, also for the Atari 2600. Yes, indeed. Got
of course
that Sesame
not.
Street
How could that possibly be confusing?
All right, so what's the score right now?
That is one for Greg, one for Andy, zero
okay,
for the rest of y'all.
Number two, Pepsi Invaders. Designed for a trade show, Pepsi Invaders is an Atari 2600 cartridge for the Coca-Cola Corporation commissioned to replace the Space Invaders with the words Pepsi across the screen, and people on the floor could shoot Pepsi off the screen.
That's this cool. That's a good idea.
Created cartridge.
Yeah. That's a code.
That gives a point, another point to me, and a point, first point to Nick. That makes it at 2 Greg, 0 Tim, 1 Andy, 1 Nick.
Okay.
Sorry, one for the champ.
Number 3, Ahoga Chambara. Mm-hmm. From M2 at Masters of Emulation, an original mobile game. That's all right.
Everybody gets a point there. Yeah. Everybody said
I
mobile.
Figured somebody would figure I was trying to throw you off with the Japanese thing.
No.
The 2600 come out in Japan as the Atari 2800.
Yeah.
The scores right now, Greg 3, Tim 1, Andy 2 with a champ 2.
Greg, you haven't missed one yet.
I have not.
Wow.
Could I be on point to another perfect game?
You might be able to. You also might lose.
Number 4.
Thanks. Snoopy. Good commentary.
Snoopy and the Red Baron. Sorry. One of my favorite, Atari 2600.
Oh, really? What's that make the score, Greg?
That makes it a three-way tie between me, Andy, Nick with 3 points, Tim with one. Still the worst mobile gamer bullshit player we've ever had.
Why am I so mad at this?
I don't know. It's amazing.
You're like getting in your own head. You're like psyching yourself out.
It's ridiculous.
Like a Japanese title. It's got to be American.
Man, if I'd have known Witter was going to be here, we could have pulled him on, too. Oh, man. Number 5, Chuck Norris sidekicks.
I think
for the Atari 2600.
No.
Oh my god!
Melina!
I hate it.
And Greg, I believe that makes me win because
no
matter
what. That's a TKO. There is no way to stop Nick Scarpino. He just came in and won with 4 points. We said mobile for all the next games. All the next games are mobile games. Fuck.
So what were the last two?
You had Communist Mutants or something.
Communist Mutants for Space for the Atari 2600.
We all got that wrong.
Yep. For the Atari 2600.
And then This Planet Sucks.
For the Atari 2600.
We said mobile on
one
all
of my
those.
Favorite 2600 games.
So there you go. Nick with 4 wins.
I hate him. I can't believe it, dude.
My first loss at this comes to the champ. Nick
champ
Scarpino.
Is supreme.
Look
at
him.
I should bring one of my 2600 carts in for you to sign and ship out for $50 this month.
This fucking bullshit, dude.
And that's another game of...
Mobile gamer bullshit.
Maybe mobile gamer bullshit. It's
mighty mobile gamer bullshit.
Congratulations, Nick.
Congrats, Nick.
Congrats, Nick.
Nick walks in like he owns the place and...
So damn it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a beautiful episode of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. Thank you very much for joining us. Stay tuned for the post show.
He's the worst.
Until then, I love you.
I fucking hate him.